I have a challenge this morning, and my challenge is both to open up the Word of God, and I ask God's help, you know, to preach and to deliver accurately, not only His you know, His Word here, but obviously apply it to our own souls. So my one challenge this morning is to look at the Word of God, examine it, but yet also give an update from the church planter that you support in Russia, Vitaly Sorokin. And in this, I have two goals this morning. I'm just kind of giving you the structure of where we're going here this morning. My first goal this morning is to challenge you and challenge us, include myself, to spend our lives, to spend our energies, to spend our days proclaiming Jesus Christ and making disciples. That might be on our mind every day as we get up, not only in the special projects or the evangelistic trips that we take and missions trips or the outreaches we do here, but every day we might have the goal of proclaiming Jesus Christ, seeing people come to Christ, and of course raising them up as disciples. That's my one goal, is to deliver that. And I'm going to do that hopefully through the scripture this morning that we were read, but also through the encouragement of the testimony of Vitaly Sorokin. Honestly, I know of no better example to give you than the man that you support, the family you support. So that's my one goal, challenge us. The second is, as I share about Vitaly, my desire is that you would feel a warmness, a connectedness to this brother, to his family, that you would sense love for him, even though he's not here. And I wish he could be here in front of you and preach to you, but that's obviously not realistic. So I hope that somehow through me that you will feel a connection to Vitaly and his family. So let's first pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we recognize that we are weak and broken vessels, each and every one of us. Lord, that none of us can stand upon our own pride, our own works, our own intelligence, our own abilities, and say, wow, Lord, how wonderful it must be to have be, you know, that you have me. No, Lord, it is through our brokenness, our weakness, our humility, that you are proclaimed, that you work, that your kingdom goes forth in this church, in our families, in this community. Father, I pray that you may encourage us by your words. Lord, that you may apply these, your word, to our minds, to our hearts, to our lives, to our wills. All these things we pray, trusting in Jesus Christ, our Savior alone. In Christ's name, amen. Have you ever met someone who has such a love for the Lord that it's just natural? When they speak, when they're prompted to speak, the only thing they can do, really, is share about the goodness of God, share about Christ. I remember one day that I was on a trip to Oregon, and I was on the Oregon coastline. I took a day to just drive down the Oregon coastline. I don't know if you've done that before, but just, you know, beautiful area with these vistas, you know, just beautiful, beautiful cliffs and the water, ocean. And so I stopped at a particular just exit off the road there to just look, and there happened to be a woman beside me, and I said, you know, isn't this just beautiful? And her response was something to the nature of, yeah, our God is magnificent. And she wasn't trying to convert me, I don't think. I think that was just what was on her heart. She opened her mouth and that's what came out. You know, completely authentic. And, you know, you see Paul, the Apostle Paul, as we look here into Colossians, I think that he was sort of the same way. As you look at his letters, you see a dear love for Jesus Christ. You see a passionate love for the gospel, that every day that gospel was good news. It both exalted him and humbled him. And that he looked forward and counted the sufferings of this world as nothing to the hope of the glory in heaven. You know, the gospel affected all of his life. And, you know, we may, as we look at this passage here, you know, Paul, we may say, well, he was a unique bird. God had a special call in his life, and that's very true. But I would argue that that same passion, that same love, and deeply embracing the gospel should apply to our life. We ought to have that same, as Christians, as believers, that same love, you know, thankfulness for the gospel. So this morning, briefly, I want to look at two things. First, what is that gospel? What is that gospel? And second, what change should it produce in us? How should God's good news change our life, not only in conversion, but now today, 2012? So what is the gospel, that good, amazing news? Paul describes it. It's amazing how Paul describes it here. If you go back to verse 19, if you open your Bibles there, Colossians 1, 19, he doesn't just throw out the gospel in these dry, dogmatic terms. You see the language that he uses and puts around it. It's not dull. And even though he had become a Christian maybe 25, 30 years before that this was written, he still had almost that same passion the day as the day that he first knew Christ. Look at this, verse 19. These aren't throwaway words. For God was pleased to have the fullness dwell in him. For God was pleased. It just delighted God. It was God's desire. Paul didn't need to add that in there. He could have just said the fullness of Christ. Jesus Christ, Jesus was the fullness of God. No, it pleased God. Don't you see how gracious our God is? Don't you see how good our God is in coming? Verse 20, and through him, through Christ, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Look at the goodness of God to come and bring reconciliation. Us poor, wicked sinners, reconciled to a holy God, perfect. How can it be? How can it be? And then, and I'm going to read verse 21 and 22. And I just want you to close your eyes if you would, and just listen to these verses as I read them. And see yourself, feel these verses in your own life. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. And I wish we had more time. I wish we had more time to go through these verses. They're beautiful verses. But I just want to pick up on one little phrase he said there at the end. Free from accusation. In other words, free from shame. Free from guilt. You know, if we're quite honest with ourselves, there's things that we've done in the past. There's things that we do in the present. Maybe we don't necessarily do them, but we think them. Or we have some sort of emotion that comes over us. We're in a particular situation, and it's shameful. And you say, where did this come from? Why am I feeling this way? Why did I say that? Why do I desire this? That's not good. And if we're honest with ourselves, it's shameful. It's shameful. The Lord says, you are without shame. All that junk, everything that enters your mind, all these desires and all your past and everything that you did, no shame. Why? Because you don't have shame? No. Because Christ took your shame. All your evil deeds he bore upon the cross so that you are innocent and clean before me. Know that. Trust in him. Don't look to yourself. Look to Christ. Don't look to your own shame. Don't look to your own abilities, your own innocence, holiness. Look to Christ. Put your hope in him. That is what reconciles you to me. That's good news. That's good news. And that's what we need. And I have a question for us. Has the gospel become old hat? It's like, well, you know, I know that, but let's go on to something else. That was class 101. Now let's go to 201. No, you never get past the cross. You never get past the cross. So what should it do in our lives here? What ought this gospel, this embracing of the gospel of Christ, of his work, his death, resurrection, what it ought to do in our life? Look at Paul, verse 125. I have become its servant, meaning the church's servant. I have become the body of Christ, this church's servant, by the commission God gave me to present you the word of God. Paul became and understood that to whom much had been given, much was expected. Because of what God had done in his life, it wasn't as though, okay, thank you, Lord, now let me go back and watch some TV and go live however I want. No, he now had a responsibility. And that responsibility was to be a servant. You know, I'll use the phrase, I know we use it in a different way and it's not a good, you know, you hear the phrase, you know, my body, my choice. Paul never said, well, I want to go here. I want to do this. This, Lord, this is what I want to do. These are my needs. No, he said, I'm a servant. Wherever I go, I'm a servant. Servant to the church, servant to the believers, servant to those who are not yet believers. I'm a servant. And how did he serve? The end of there, verse 25, to present you the word of God in its fullness. So how can I best serve you? If Paul was up here, what would he say? How could he best serve you? The way I can best serve you, Paul would say, is I open up the word of God. Show you the word of God. Show and apply how this word applies to your life, your family, your work situation, everything. What I can give you, I can't give you what's my own. What's my own is valueless. What's valuable is the word of God. That's how I'm going to build up these people. These are how lives are going to be transformed. And so, you know, as we think of our own self, I mean, you know, Paul was a unique person. God had a special commission on his life for the Gentiles. And we don't have that, you know, the same call as uniquely as his call was. But I'm going to argue that same responsibility applies to us. Do you see yourself as a servant? As you come through these doors, do you see yourself as a servant of this church? Or are you looking to say, okay, what can I get out of it? Or, you know, I'm willing to serve, but only here. I don't want to serve there. They're asking me to do this, but, you know, I really don't want to. You know, and that does, of course, mean you do everything. That's not what I'm saying. It's more of a mentality shift. Do you see yourself as a servant of the church? Even beyond this, beyond the servant of this church, this congregation, your family. Your family, do you see yourself as a servant? And again, primarily, as we relate to these verses, not only, okay, I'm going to be humble and serve, but my goal is to both proclaim through words and proclaim through my life and actions the gospel of Jesus Christ. That as I'm taking care of children or cats, let's say back there, is your desire to proclaim Christ, to demonstrate humility, to demonstrate the goodness of God, fullness of God? Or do you come again on your terms and say, I want to be served? Or I'm willing to serve up to this point, but nothing beyond that. And then, of course, as we serve, and as I just mentioned, all our service ought to be gospel-focused. Gospel-focused. Again, whether you're teaching children, whether you're working in the nursery, whether you're, again, at home. I'll just read a few verses here. Verse 27, to them, and this is our desire, should be our desire, to them God has chosen us, chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. When you think of the, this is, deals with the proclamation of the word here, proclamation of Christ. When you think of the riches of God, the glorious riches, what do you think of? What do you think of the glorious riches? You think of streets paved with gold. You think of, you know, the health, wealth folks. You know, we don't believe in that kind of stuff, that you get rich. Paul says, you want to know the greatest, most glorious thing of the Lord, what is most valuable? This is what it is. This is what God gives. Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ dwelling within you, the hope of glory. Verse 28, and we proclaim him, admonishing, teaching everyone with all wisdom. We give it our all. We give it our all. With all our strength. Our desire is to present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor, you know, giving it all I got, all my energies, all my energies. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. And you see, just quickly here, Paul suffered. It's not an easy road. It is not an easy road, this side of heaven. Verse 24, he talks about his sufferings up there. But the good news is, as we suffer, you know, we'll never suffer like Paul did, shipwrecked, imprisoned, naked, hungry, you know, like him. We won't suffer like that. And I thank the Lord. But some, obviously, on this earth now are suffering like that. And maybe we will. Maybe some of us will. But the good news is, as we are expended, as you get to the end of your rope and say, I can't give anymore. I can't give anymore. I'm tired. You know, I can't demonstrate. I don't want to demonstrate Christ to my family right now. I just don't feel like it. I can't serve here, Lord. I'm spent. I've been misunderstood, rejected. Emotions, I just feel crushed. The good news is, verse 29 at the very end, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. It is God who works in us. Again, we're not looking for our own resources. And I see no better example of to illustrate these verses than to give you, tell a little bit about Vitaly Sorokin. If I can get the first picture there. Now, Vitaly lives in the city of Norilsk. Got that there? It's perfect. Just a little bit about Norilsk. If you get a chance to see the PowerPoint before the service, then see that. Norilsk is probably one of the most difficult places on the earth to live, and I'm not joking when I say this. It's above the Arctic Circle, so there are about 6 weeks where the sun actually does not break through the horizon in the wintertime. It's also one of the most polluted cities of the earth. Top 10 polluted cities, because there are 4 smelting operations that surround the city. And so whichever way the wind blows, you can see that smoke. It goes into the city of Norilsk. So it's extremely harsh environment. I don't remember, offhand the temperature during the wintertime, but I mean, it's, you know, negative 30, 40 degrees Fahrenheit. I mean, it's horrible, horrible place. And I asked I sent a letter to Vitaly. I told him I was going to be preaching here. And I said, why do you stay? Why don't you just move? Go somewhere it's easier. And he says, because I've been called by God. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be there and minister there. Let's go to the next photo there. This is Vitaly. He shares his testimony. He said he was born into a non-Christian family where he had heard nothing about God growing up. Then around 12 years of age, he started to hang around some non-good influences, started to drink. Then soon after that, he started taking drugs. He says, I was told that drugs would give me joy and would make me a happy person. I took drugs for 5 years. Then I realized how wrong it was. But by that time, I was addicted. All my friends and relatives left me, with the exception of his mom. He said, I was very lonely. I wanted to die. And I began to take even more drugs than before. I was depressed, and I lived with fear all the time. I lost my interest in life. Every day I had the same questions. Where can I find money to buy drugs? Several times, doses of drugs, the drugs I took were nearly fatal. I was only 19 years old. He says only his mom believed that God could change him. And so she advised him to go to a Christian rehab center. And he says it was there at that rehab center that I first heard about Christ. I gave him my heart and asked God to forgive my sins. From that moment, my life was changed, radically changed, transformed. He forgave my sins and made me a new person. So let's go to the next slide here, if you would. So he has been a pastor here in Norelsk for, I believe it's about 5 years or so. And now in his church, he actually pastors two congregations, one in Norelsk, and you'll see there on the other side, another city about 80 miles or so from where he lives in the town of Dudinka. And one of you see, and as you read in his letters, as you interact with him, you see that his desire is to see the gospel going forth from his church and his congregation. He talked about recently about a seminar that he held there at his church where he was encouraging his church to witness. And he said, it wasn't long that we actually saw results. In fact, this seminar about witnessing, sharing Christ, was 2 weeks before Easter. Someone at the church, a lady at the church, had Muslim neighbors, shared the gospel with them, and they came to the service, to that Easter service. Did not accept Christ, but he did say that at the Easter service, he saw at least 7 unbelievers there, one who repented. Wow, we're running out of time here. I have so much more I wanted to share. But you see Vitaly, let me just run down the things that he does. And you don't necessarily, you can go to the next page here. He's involved in summer camp ministry. One note on summer camps. You think of Christian summer camps for church. You know, the church kids go to summer camp in Russia. That's not true. Summer camps, Christian summer camps, are for unbelievers, non-Christians. You have them there for a week, two. Great opportunity to share Christ with these children. And he has seen results. He's seen children's hearts just open wide. Next page here. Also is involved in Christmas outreaches for children. They're in the community. Incredible. Again, inviting non-Christians. Next page here. He's just expending himself for the gospel. Involved in drug and alcohol rehabilitation center. There's an apartment there near where he lives where he's invited people who've come from life of drugs and alcohol. Has a conviction to minister to them. Next page. Goes out also into the tundra, the frozen tundra of Taimyr Peninsula, ministers to reindeer herder on the tundra. Next picture, involved in all sorts of other outreaches. Here, he was able to get a hold of radios that were pre-tuned to Christian radio stations, And of course, there's a lot of people in Norelsk when it gets cold and yucky who just stay in there, especially people who are older. Hey, we'll give them a radio. We'll give them something to do, something to listen to. Does that. Goes out downtown with the people in the congregation to hand out tracts, to hand out Bibles. Also is involved in just different outreaches. I wish I could share more. Prison ministry. Prayer requests. Let me just share two here. Ways you can pray for them. First, pray for the health. Go ahead and go to the next page here. There we go. Prayer requests. First, they often get sick. Fall of 2011, their daughter, Alina, came down with a cough, just sort of chronic, lasted for about 6 months, went to doctors in Norelsk, couldn't figure out what was wrong. Finally, they went on vacation to a town 2,500 miles. Doctors found out and said, it's good that you brought her here. Earlier this year, his wife, Victoria, they thought they were going to lose her. You know, she got so sick earlier this year. Really thought for weeks. Pray for their health. Vitaly's not doing well either. Second, way you can pray for them. Because it's a difficult place to live, people leave. You know, you invest in someone in the church. You raise up someone, minister there. And, of course, they want to get out of town. I mean, they got to care for their families. You know, they can't afford to get their kids get sick. And this is bad. This is tough. It's difficult living without light during the wintertime. It's dark. And so he says, you know, it's like every few years, it's like I'm just restarting the church. Every few years, I'm just restarting the church. All new people. It's difficult. So I think you can be praying for him in those two ways. But let's go ahead and pray for him just for a moment, and then we'll close here. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for challenge this morning from your word. Challenge for Vitaly. We pray for him, Lord. We pray that you may grant him health, grant his family health, grant him energy, grant him wisdom as he proclaims Christ, as he tries to make disciples of all nations. Thank you for him. Thank you for this church. May we live in such a manner. May he be an example to us. And may, of course, your word be our instruction. In Jesus' name, through your Holy Spirit, we pray these things. Amen.